because it's awful hard to get rid of that thought. I told her the title was, What'd You Leave Behind? And what have you left behind today? What will you leave behind tomorrow? Family, friends, misinformation, disinformation, lies, tall tales, money, trust, hope, yelling at the Supreme Court, riots in the streets, what'd you leave behind? A number of years ago, Grandma Dexter passed away. Now, Grandma Dexter had been going to the same little Baptist church in Manhattan, Kansas for 50 years. And the pastor that had been at that church was the same one for all 50 years. Only pastor she ever had at a church in Manhattan, Kansas. Now, she'd been in other churches before that, but for 50 years, that was her pastor. And so when she died, the pastor that had been there all that time with her for the 40 years that she was there, he was leaving the church, and they had a new pastor coming that night, the night before Grandmother Dexter's funeral. The only problem was the old pastor had agreed to do the service, and the problem occurred that he died the day before the service. So the new pastor was coming into town, a young whippersnapper of a guy that everybody was being very upset and cautious about bringing this new guy in because he was such a young man compared to their longtime pastor. But the new pastor came in the evening before the funeral service and agreed to do the service and talked with the family, including me, the night before for a few minutes. Next morning, the church family arrived at the church, find out that the new pastor was, in fact, doing the service. And the scuttlebutt of the conversation among all of them was, he doesn't know anything about Ruth Dexter. There's no way he can know anything about her. There's no way that he can give this service because he doesn't know a dang thing about Ruth Dexter. Church was abuzz. Young whippersnapper was looking really dapper in his new suit. And some of them even said, who does he think he is? Ruth was a tradition in that church. She was always there, baked goodies and cookies, and was a speaker at XFW Club, which is ex-farmers group, ex-farmers wives group. And she made those programs interesting because she told stories about living in the earthen house and the buffalo falling through the roof into the house. True story for her. Surely the new pastor heard all that chatter. But he sat tall in the chair up on the platform and for the funeral service of Ruth Dexter. The music started, and he sang with the choir, read the Bible verse, and then he stood up to share the life of Ruth Dexter. You could have heard a pin drop. You think I don't know Ruth Dexter? But I spent all night last night reading the notes in her Bible. I finished about 6 o'clock this morning, and I know Ruth Dexter better than any of you. She left behind her Bible, full of notes. The congregation was well pleased with that young, dapper Dan. Let's pray. Father, we pray that what we leave behind glorifies you and makes you the main emphasis of what we leave and what we do day by day, so that what we leave glorifies you. We pray that what we leave glorifies you. Turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And you all know this, so I'm not reading anything that's new to you. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth." And so the first thing that I want you to notice is Christ left the disciples to teach us, to spread the word. Now turn to John 20. John 20, 19 through 23. And then the high priest asked Jesus and his disciples in doctrine, and Jesus answered him, "I spake openly to the world, ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether with Jew." Whether with Jews, always resort in the secret. I have said nothing. Why askest thou me, them that heard me, what I have to say, said unto them? Behold, they know what I have said. And when he had said, thus spoken, one of the officers which stood up and struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou, high priest?" So Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest me?" So here's the Jewish population. And I'm kind of ahead of myself a little bit here, but here's the Jewish population with disinformation. Just like us, disinformation. Now turn to John 20, 19 through 23. And then that same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, then the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had said so, he showed them unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So Christ left the Holy Ghost to us, for us. What did they leave behind? Well, somebody left a draft of the Supreme Court decision somewhere, left it behind. Serious business, and I've mentioned that, and I've already discussed that to some extent. Who left the draft behind? Who left it? Who got it out when it was supposed to be locked up, all the paperwork was? I'll talk more about the Supreme Court decision next week. But in the meantime, I had an opportunity here to read another book. And I know some of you think and I agree, we ought to read the Bible and not spend so much time on these other books. But I'm fascinated with what people do and what they don't do and what they should do. And So Miranda Devine has written a book that has called The Laptop from Hell. It's about Hunter Biden. Left in a repair shop by Hunter Biden, signed a receipt. He resigned the receipt. It's in his handwriting. So when he didn't come pay for it, White got out in the public. It's gross. It's really gross. The pictures of him without any clothes on and with female escorts, and it's on and on and on. In the laptop. It's impossible not to figure out, after looking at it with his clothes on, to figure out that it's Hunter Biden. You may not recognize him in the nude, but you would recognize that it was Hunter Biden. Copies of the hotel bills are in the laptop. $10,000 a night. The service, the girls that were there were 800. That's not the highest hotel bill. He paid one night $27,700 for one night, per night. I'm not sure. I think he stayed three or four nights in that suite. Pictures of foreigners. Foreign leaders with him and Joe Biden present. Multiple emails between his former wife, Catherine, and himself, back and forth, arguing over the divorce, arguing over the kids, arguing over the money, arguing over her support. Her support was $27,800 per month, child support. Express discussions, emails with Russians, Chinese, Yugoslavians, Ukrainians, and on and on and on. Pictures of the foreign nationals, Chinese leaders, Ukraine leaders, with Hunter Biden, and a guy by the name of Joe Biden. Police let him go when they went by a motel where he was raising a little cane, and the motel didn't like it, so they called the police. The police let him go, even though he was high on cocaine and other drugs and alcohol, and was not dressed appropriately, but they let him go. He married his former brother's wife. Emails in the laptop of back and forth from him and her are disgusting. If they're in the laptop, it's awful hard to suggest it's somebody else's laptop when he says he married his brother's ex after his brother died of serious cancer. Miranda Devine wrote this book to try to bring out the truth, what's happened. You see, the problem is it's real easy to say it ain't true. It's not 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 true. But you got to be real careful if you write a book like this and say it is true. You got to have the evidence, because otherwise you're likely to be sued. So the truth doesn't come out. So, I hope you'll forgive me, but I want to just read you. This is This is out of the book. Less than 2 weeks after the meeting, Joe Biden in Beverly Hills, Bob Bulinski incorporates Sinohawk Holdings, LLC, on May 15, 2017, having decided against Hunter's suggestion that they call it CEFC America. It will be a global investment firm seeded with $10 million Chinese dollars money, $10 million American dollars, but Chinese money, that will buy projects in the U.S. and around the world in global and or domestic infrastructure, energy, financial services, and other strategic shares. Says the contract was drawn up. See, the contract's in the laptop. Sinohawk would be 50% owned by Yi, a Chinese man, actually in the government, through a Delaware incorporated CEFC. That's the one that Hunter wanted to name CEFC America. He wanted to name that, their part, that. Hudson West IV LLC, and other 50% would be owned by Oneida Holdings LLC. That's Hunter and others. Another Delaware firm set up by Hunter's partner, Bob Bulinski. Oneida would be split, according to the email sent by Galliar to the group May 13th. See, that's in the laptop, laying out the distribution of the shares. 10% of the company would be allocated to Joe Biden. The equity will be distributed as follows, wrote Galliar, listing the shares and percentages. 20% to Hudson, Hunter, 20 to Walker, 20 to Galliar, 20 to Bobulinski, 10 to Jim Biden, and 10 held for the big guy. 3 years later, Bobulinski will tell the world, now this is not in the laptop, there is no question that the big guy is Joe Biden. Hunter Biden called his dad the big guy or chairman and frequently referenced him for his sign-off or advice on various potential deals that we are discussing. So if you go on and read through this, Hunter gets his first big deal. His first venture out into this world, he gets $300,000 for introducing a Chinese oligarch to a guy by the name of Joe Biden. It's all in there. Now, the world said this is disinformation. Disinformation. They call this Russian disinformation. The Russians made that video and they put it there because you can't verify it real fast. That gets put out and it's said over and over and over again. And my sister, who only listens to those radio stations back east that are favorable to the administration, that's all she hears. He doesn't hear the other side at all. Same disinformation. But you see, it's the same disinformation that they used for Trump. It's Russia, it's Russia, it's Russia. Disinformation. Shame on you for speaking disinformation. Because that's what we're all saying, see? Ought to have a federal agency to punish those who distribute disinformation. Because you're just wrong. Well, I'm not going to make it through all this, but anyway, what is disinformation? Look it up in the dictionary. Of course, that's where I go first. Is I got to try to find out what they're really talking about and if they understand what they're really saying. Disinformation, Webster's Dictionary, deliberately incorrect and misleading information leaked by an intelligence agency as a means of counteracting and discrediting authentic information that the enemy has ordained. They're the ones causing disinformation. They're the agency that's saying it's wrong. They're the ones that are violating, that fit that definition. But we're going to create a disinformation agency. Determine who's going to tell the truth in this country and who's not. And I'll tell you right now, that's exactly what a guy by the name of Hitler did. What Joseph Stalin did. If you control the message that goes out on the radio, you control everything. And if they do this disinformation, we've lost everything. If they're able to pass that and undertake then to shut down, see, the guy that's buying Twitter D and Twitter Dumb, whatever that is, the guy that's buying that's got a lot of money, and his hope is to get the free speech out onto the public. But their effort is to shut him down. And they're going to do it with this disinformation organization. Well, anyway, so I looked in the legal dictionary to see what disinformation is. Does not list it. Now, you've got to understand the legal dictionary defines words based on cases that have been decided. So if the term disinformation has never been used in a lawsuit, it's not going to be defined in any case, and so therefore it isn't going to be one. So I don't see that as a negative. Strong's concordance, on the other hand, if you look there, disinformation is not in there. Constitution, it's not in there. You look in Webster's and Random House, it's not in there. Well, misinform, but that's in there. We understand that, to give inaccurate information and to mislead. Random House, to give false or misleading information, to mislead wrongly by leading astray. In the little law offices that we belong to, we call that kind of stuff lies. Don't have to have those big terms. But you see, the whole idea of the misinformation is to make it sound important to those people that are listening on the radio that don't understand the words and the definitions. That's my sister. She was an engineer, very brilliant. Mathematically genius. Couldn't tell you the definition of simple words. But she can do the numbers. So who determines what's true and what's not true? And I went back to law school, and I remember the professors telling us how we got to where we are. You see, originally we tried a number of things. The people in the world tried a whole number of things in order to tell what the truth is, and one of the things that they tried was trial by fire. Walk across the bed of coals, and if you got to the other side without keeling over or dying, whatever the test was, then you were considered truthful. Fire by water, same thing. If you could swim and get out of the trap in the water, same thing. Scourging, we talked about that Sunday morning. If they beat you to the inch of death and then you do die, they don't really care, but it probably means that you didn't tell the truth. England didn't like this idea of people suffering in all of this, and so the English people, you know, their fancy hats and good dress and everything, and you would think of them not wanting to do trial by fire or something like that. So they decided to do a trial by the numbers. He who brings the most witnesses. And that's a goodie because that lent itself to buying your witnesses for you. And so if you could buy enough witnesses, you'd win every time. Sounds like our current existing court system. Judges. Independent judge group. It's supposed to be independent and not obliged to any either party or the other. That works in this country and has worked as long as the judges really are an independent judge. Has worked. Jury of 6 or 12 has worked. And those of us that are lawyers can tell you that that kind of a trial still fails. But only about 5% of the time. Every now and then we get a bad decision from a jury. Pretty much lawyers know before they try the case what the outcome is going to be. They know what the evidence is, and they know backwards and forwards what everybody's going to say until the woman that tells me 455 times the light was green when she entered the, and then gets up on the stand and says it was red in the trial. Those things happen. Well, but most of the time the trials are pretty good. Now we have D'Souza with his movie, and those of you that don't know about it, Saturday night, there are apparently still tickets in Tyler and Mesquite, but Dallas is flooded. Every other town in the state of Texas, according to Ruth, is already sold out. But anyway, 2,000 mules and D'Souza has pictures of them dropping in the ballots. It's a movie he's created. He's got 2,000 of these mules that delivered the ballots in bulk to these voting. The left wants to tell us that there is no truth except the truth you believe. Whatever you believe. What you believe is true is true. That's not how truth works. A true statement corresponds with reality. And it's true whether you believe it or not. It's still true. It's true whether one believes it or not. So we could be jailed for whatever the misinformation department decides is misinformation, and that could be, you see, preaching the Word of God. So, if we read John 18, 19 and 20 through 24. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. And Jesus answered him, spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue, in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. And behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest me? John 18:33-38. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, Sayest thou this thing of myself, or did others tell thee of me? Pilate answered, I am a Jew, Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence? Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou the king? Then Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am. To this end I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witnesses unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then, 19:15, but they cried out, Away with him. It's disinformation. See, it's the same thing we're facing, same exact thing we're facing. Ruth, I'm going to take just a second. I'll go ahead. Ruth's been reading Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. And this is about Hudson Taylor, but this provision just says it so well. You remember that he was in China and he was facing being shot or killed or killed because he was preaching the word in China. But he was in the back country and they didn't get around to catching up with him too often. And so he was, and this is a note about him after he was dead. It was not easy for Mr. Taylor in his changeful life to make time for prayer and Bible study. But he knew that it was vital. Well do writers remember traveling with him month after month in northern China by cart and wheelbarrow with the poorest of inns at night, often with only one large room for coolies and travelers alike. They would screen off a corner for their father and another for themselves with curtains of some sort. Then after sleep at last had brought a measure of quiet, they would hear a match strike and see a flicker of candlelight, which told that Mr. Taylor, however weary, was poring over the little Bible in two volumes that he always carried. From 2 to 4 a.m. was the time he usually gave to prayer, the time when he could be most assured of being undisturbed to wait upon God. The flicker of the candlelight has meant more to them than all they that have read or heard on the secret prayer. It meant reality, not preaching, but practice. And so there we are, here with the problems we have. The bottom line is, our only really hope is in prayer, the Lord our God. I will go into the Supreme Court a little bit next time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of life itself and for your being our God and our Father. Pray, Father, that as you go with us, that we seek your will in everything that we do, that we glorify you in our daily lives. We pray, Father, that your will be done in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.